Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Live from FinCon 2017, it's a special edition of the Money Tree Investing Podcast with Miranda Marquette, Joe Salcija, and special guest, Jim Wang. Starring me, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug.
I love your neighbor, Doug.
That's almost starring you. You think it's starring you.
They're all looking at me, Joe.
They are looking at you because you're very creepy. Welcome to Money Tree Investing Podcast. Miranda, we've got a few people here.
Yeah, it's super great. So instead of having to put up with Doug and Linda today,
we're going
to
put up with my mom's neighbor, Doug, instead.
That's right.
Yes.
We are live at FinCon 17. We are here podcasting from the Ally podcast stage. It's very exciting to be doing this. So yes, a special thanks to Ally Bank for sponsoring live podcasting at FinCon 2017 from Dallas, Texas. It's very exciting.
And before we announce our very special guest, we have to hear a little bit about the Buzz Index, don't we, Doug?
Oh, now you want me back.
Don't we, Doug?
A minute ago, you were booting me out the door.
You do all the heavy lifting.
Hey, Joe, ever wonder if there's a way to capitalize on all the online chatter of the millions of investors on social media? Do you? You ever wonder?
I totally do.
Well,
all the time.
Your wait is over, Joe, because the same artificial intelligence techniques used by some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds are now at your fingertips.
On mine?
It better be the only thing at your fingertips, Joe. And you can make their edge your edge. The Buzz Index, licensed to an exchange-traded fund and trading under ticker symbol BUZ, gives investors a portfolio of securities which show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. No surveys, no guessing. You're really good at that part, though, the guessing part, Joe.
Guessing, I am.
You can stop the guessing with Buzz. Here's how it works. First, Buzz targets the most mentioned large-cap U.S. stocks across the social media landscape. The more active the conversation, the greater the reliability of the Buzz. Head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ for a link to Buzz Index and more information.
Thank you.
And real quick, Joe, I think you need to make a disclosure before we move on.
Oh, the Buzz Index is in my portfolio. It doesn't make it right for you, but I own some of that stuff. Jim Wang.
Hello.
Jim Wang from Wallet Hacks is here, everybody.
Woo! Woo! Jim!
Hey. Jim!
Yes.
Finally, somebody to carry this show. It's about time.
I hope I can live up to it.
We're going to talk today about our dumbest money mistakes, because that's fun. Everybody always talk. We have these experts on the show. We talk about people doing things really well. Let's talk about when you don't do things well. And that's why we have Jim here.
Because Jim has things badly.
You have screwed up a lot of stuff, Jim.
I have. And now we get to talk about it.
Yeah.
In front of everybody.
Transparency, right? That's what FinCon and the personal finance community and the investing community, we're all about, transparency.
That's what it's all about.
That's right.
So who wants to go first?
I think Jim wants to go first.
I don't know if I want to go first, but am I supposed to go first?
So, Jim, what do you think your most horrible money mistake has been?
Actually, I want the biggest loss of investing that you've had.
Oh, the biggest loss of investing. So there was like a stretch of time 7 or 8 years ago where I put some money, maybe 10 years ago, before the financial crisis, I put some money in startups that I thought were great and were going to change, not necessarily change the world, but at least do big things that would make money. And there were, some of the folks were friends, some weren't, and most of them have like imploded.
Did you do any research at a time, or just these are my buddy's companies, so I'm going to...
So it turns out the ones that were my buddies, I trusted the least. So I gave them the least amount. And so what ended up happening was they would return the money.
Because I know those guys, so I need lots of data.
Yeah, I totally know that.
Right.
It's actually, it was like, what is it, regret minimization. I essentially gave them a little bit of money so that if it did blow up, I didn't feel like I missed out. And when they didn't, I was like, I guess it's not that much. But there were startups that people told me about. And I did research, and they looked cool, and they looked interesting, but I made one of those critical failures in angel investing where they say, like, invest in the people. And I didn't study the people enough. And I looked at the technology. And I was like, this is great. But the people just were not good at executing.
That's interesting. When you look at people, when you make investment decisions now, like, how do you make better investment decisions by looking at people? What do you look about?
No, I do what you're supposed to do, which is put it in an index fund.
Yes. Thank you.
You're Miranda's BFF.
That's right.
I mean, no. I do a little of investing outside of it where it's like heavily vetted by people smarter than me, but otherwise it's index investing. These,
yeah, but
a lot
but
of these startups, like, they sound good and they like draw you in because that's what drew the founder into creating whatever they were going to create. But then they're not necessarily great business people, and they don't have the partnerships. And I actually don't do any angel investing now because I've also come to realize, you know, I don't have like a network or connections or all that. When they come to me, it's either usually friends and family or they can't go anywhere else.
Right.
So I'm just a check. I don't want to be just a check. I'm more than that.
That's funny. That's when I was a financial planner, people would bring me great ideas. And clients that had no investing experience, obviously, and I'm their financial planner, and they bring me these deals that friends of theirs have, and that's always my first question. This is a great deal. How come nobody with more money than you wants to fund it?
Right.
You know, they want your $5,000 instead of the angel $1 million. They can't get that, so guess what? We're taking your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I used to hear, oh, we only have, you know, the scarcity aspect. Oh, we only have 10,000 left of the 150,000, you know, allotment. I was like, maybe I better get in. Now I'm like, why couldn't you get the other 10%? Why am I the sucker here? Like, why haven't I heard about this before?
How come they're not beating the doors down for that one? But do you read the stuff that when you did make angel investments, like, because they give you the whole, right? They give you everything, the whole business plan. Do you read through that?
I did in the beginning. And usually now, anything I look at now, it's usually just like the first couple pages because the rest is like boilerplate. Oh, we're making representations. We can't predict the future. You're going to lose everything and blah, blah, blah. What I like about reading the like prospecti is like how much research do they do into their market? Like how granular is that data? Like it doesn't mean that they're going to succeed or fail based on that alone, but it shows me like the level of rigor they have in their business.
Right. I like hearing about all the reasons why it's not going to work.
Right.
Like when I read these and it's amazing, there's this huge hole in the marketplace, nobody else is thinking this. I'm like, there's no way you were the first person. Somebody's had this thought before you. But if you come in with, here's why it won't work, it won't work this reason, I'm much more likely to take it seriously.
Yeah, because they will never be as good of a steward of your money as you would. Right, for them, they're just a couple more, you know, bucks in the bank account.
Yeah,
so you want to make sure that they're at least doing their homework and, like, treat this like a serious.
But you don't do that anymore.
No, I don't.
No.
Because
but don't you have this fear of missing out? Like, you're going to miss the next big thing?
FOMO. No, you know, Joe, indexers don't feel FOMO. Like, we're indexers, and we don't feel FOMO.
So this is, here's the interesting thing. How I fight that away is that I've said no enough. And seeing the failures after saying no. Like, I'm not hoping for it to fail. But, like, if they're like my friends and say, oh, I want to do this business. I'm like, oh, go for it. Like, I don't do angel investing anymore. So it doesn't become, like, a personal thing. And then when things don't work out or there's, like, an acqui-hire or something, I'm like, oh, well, that's another business that I could have lost money in. So I don't fear missing out on that. But there will be a time, I'm certain, where it'll be like, oh, I missed out on the next Facebook. And it'll suck, but it's... I have all these other like landmines that I've avoided that I'm like, all right, I think my system's okay.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of it, though, goes back to why are you investing? What is the purpose of your investment? So are you investing because you want to beat the market? Are you investing because you got to beat Jim, you know, in his performance? You know, if that's why you're investing, then, yeah, you're going to run into problems and you're going to keep trying to chase that big thing to get that big win. But if you're investing because you're like, hey, this is what I need to do for my future, these are my goals, and this is enough for me, then, you know, indexing is great, and you don't have to worry about just completely falling on your
So you're saying, Miranda,
face.
Though, yeah, I mean, everybody that listens to this show knows what an indexer you are, but are you saying that you would never take some play money and...
Oh, I've done that. Remember, we were in an investing challenge, and I kicked your butt.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for bringing... I forgot that for the last week since you mentioned it.
That's right. So, yes, I have done that, and I didn't do super great. I chose to do some gold ETFs and some high-yield bond things, and it was just stuff I would never do. And it didn't do super great, but it still did better than yours. And hey,
nice.
Hashtag winning.
Once again. Again. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, Jim, but she beat me in an investing challenge.
Wait, what happened?
I beat him in an investing challenge.
When was this?
She didn't do that well, and I did worse. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah.
So what were you investing in, Joe? Let's recap what you were investing in that was even worse than what I was investing in.
Oh, you know, I had Yahoo. That didn't go very well. So I thought Marissa Mayer was going to perform better. Talk about people. That's when you get too involved in the cult of people.
Right,
and
right,
you think, yeah, all the financial information I'm reading about Yahoo is just junk. What did you call it? Because I can't say the word I want to say. It's bleepy.
Oh, yeah, bleepy, yes. We were talking about bleepy investments because we've been told we can't swear.
Yes. So everything about Yahoo looked like a bleepy investment. But she got hired. And then with her background, you know, I thought, and of course, for a while, they rode strong, but that was all in the back of Alibaba. And once Alibaba was gone, then that's not my worst one, but I want to hear about yours. I've got a doozy, but I want to hear about Miranda's.
My worst investments. Gosh, I don't know. Because I'm such a conservative investor, right? I've got to be conservative in some way. And I'm such a conservative investor. But I think probably a lot of it had to do with more of where I put my time earlier, right? So I used to put my time into things that didn't like pan out. And it's not necessarily a financial investment, but things where if I had used my time better or done something a little bit differently, I would have had a much better outlook. So I think that's more of my biggest investment mistake. Because once again, I just index, and then when I have play money, I do silly things like put it in gold just before it drops, and that's what I get.
Did you put it in gold?
What?
How much did you put in gold?
Well, so the sad thing was they were gold ETFs. And so I actually ended up running into contango. And this is probably not the podcast to talk about contango, but because that's a deep concept and we're going to be out of time in like 10 minutes.
Right.
But no, so I was actually using gold ETFs. I was not, and as you know, they're actually derivatives and it's not actually the gold. And so, yeah, I ran into problems there.
Well, you know who else we have? We haven't heard Mom's Neighbor Doug.
Oh, yeah. What was your crappy investment, dude?
Yeah, I've got a lot of crappy investments. Last Saturday night, I lost $11.50 on dinner at the Sizzler when I took Glenda out. That did not have the return on my investment that I anticipated.
That was not...
You got to invest more than that, buddy. You got to invest more than
she
that.
She had a different understanding of how that investment was supposed to work.
Dude, it was $11.50.
And there goes the podcast.
That was after tip.
You should have got a glass of wine, too.
Yeah, the Sizzler selection is not
right.
Not up to Glenda's standards.
Which box of wine do you want to drink from? Mine was, I had money in XM Radio in the early days.
Oh, yeah, this is my favorite story.
And it sat there and sat there and sat there. And all of a sudden, this baby goes from $1.50 where I bought it to $32, $33.
Yeah, yeah, it got pretty good.
So now I take this little tiny bit of money that I put in XM Radio because I like it, and I've got a nice sum of money. So I decide that the important thing to do now is to diversify, right? This is what I always told my clients to do when I was a financial planner. I diversified, so I sold half of it. Wait for it. I put it in Sirius Satellite Radio.
That's right.
And then the two bleeping companies merge. They do exactly the same bleep, and then it goes right back down. So, yeah. Good diversification there, Joe.
Good job, man. And you're a financial professional, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I did, and this is, that one's stupidity, just because I like satellite radio. I thought, hey, two companies, one of them's going to win. Why not invest in both? Two horses. Ends up it was two halves of the same horse.
Right. And now everybody streams.
You don't want the same half, though, right? You don't want the same half, though, right?
No, right.
Not two heads.
I got to have the other half.
Two bleeps.
Right. Right. Now I got all of Howard Stern. Right. No, my other one, though, and this is being too close to the company. My dad worked for General Motors.
Oh, wow.
And so when I was a financial planner, I would read selectively all the reports while Detroit was doing very poorly during the market downturn. I'd read them selectively because my family's worked there. My uncle worked there. My dad worked there. Friends worked there. My clients worked there. So, and you keep reading the half of the reports that said, there's no way that the government's going to let them go bankrupt. Remember that? There is no way General Motors is going to go bankrupt. So I loaded up on some General Motors preferreds. I actually recommended General Motors preferreds to some people that were my clients because of the fact that what can happen to GM? The government will not let them go bankrupt. Luckily, just before they went bankrupt, we moved the money. We barely avoided the forest fire, but we wouldn't have ever been in that fire had I stuck with data. If I stuck with data instead of with my emotions, you know, being too close to it. That was a big lesson.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really like that Linda talks about a lot is, you know, the data and looking at the trends and following that stuff. I mean, it's not something I have the patience for, but,
yeah.
You know, she's a very unemotional investor, and that's one of the things I like about her.
Well, but that makes you less emotional when you're in indexes, right? I mean, indexing
can
do the same thing.
Oh, for sure,
I mean, you get fired up at 3 a.m. about your index?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know
take that prospectus to bed with you?
Right.
You've seen how thick those prospectuses are.
Yeah, and there's indexes in the back of them. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's right. There's table of contents in the front, index in the back.
I know, still don't know how we invest in that thing in the list of things in the back of the book, but I'm all ears. Keep talking.
Listing the stuff. No, but that prospectus, man, that'll burn a fire for hours.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. You know, just tear out the pages, use it for kindling. It's perfect.
Yeah. Let's not talk investing, though, Jim. Let's talk about, like, basic money mistakes. Is there something that you bought where you regretted it? Is there any, like, budgeting issue you made where you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that?
Well, it's always funny. Like, a couple years ago, we bought a new house. And what we loved about it was that it was, like, back in the woods and these super tall trees. And then it would get windy, and then branches would fall off these super tall trees. And then some of the trees started falling. And then I called up a tree company. They're like, hey, to take down that tree, it'll be about $1,200. I was like, oh, there are a lot of tall trees that I really like, but now I'm very afraid they're going to fall and crush our house. So, you know, other than where I live and the trees around us killing us, nothing really.
So you're saying the fact that you didn't buy a house in the prairie was your mistake?
Should have bought
or in the desert.
Yard work.
Yeah, you should have come out to Idaho.
Should have gotten a condo.
Jim's
with
the
no trees.
Jim's the anti-tree guy now.
That's right.
I love the trees, but they want to kill you. They do.
They're out to get you.
Miranda, how about you?
Yeah, so it's funny because the biggest purchase regret that I have is, in fact, when I bought a house. I don't enjoy home ownership. I do not...
Watch out for the trees.
Yeah, it's not just the trees. It's the fact that eventually the toilet breaks and you have to fix it. And you have to make sure the furnace is tuned. And if something else happens, you have to take care of it. I hate yard work. I hate all the things that come with home ownership. And when I rent, somebody else does the furnace tune up. Somebody else takes care of all of the yard work. I have, you know, I don't have to do the yard because there's a nice walking path. So I'm a big condo, apartment, renter person. And then it also didn't help that where we lived was like really far behind the curve, right? So the crash from the housing market crash was slower in coming and took longer to take care of. And so in 2014, when we were ready to sell, when everybody else was doing, like when every other market in the country was like going up, this one was still finally dipping. I had to pay $12,000 to unload that house because we were unloading it quickly and moving across the country. So yes, I paid $12,000 to get rid of my house. And I just, everything about home ownership I hate, and I just would never do it again. But it works really well for some people, and if that works for you, that's great. That's great. You do you, but home ownership is not for me.
How can you tell? Do you think she's anti-home ownership for her?
Doesn't sound like it.
Not at all.
She sounds very confused right now.
Right?
I love my house. It's just the trees.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think you do, you know, you do what works for you. What about you, Joe? What is your big financial mistake?
I've been thinking about that. I had one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you didn't have any.
No. Yeah. Every move I made.
About 11 of them.
every move I made had been brilliant. I've made just a bunch of brilliant financial moves. You know,
what about that 85 Yugo that you were sure was going to be a classic car? That hasn't quite matured, has it?
No. Yeah, the Yugo's fine. No, that's good.
That was not a mistake, clearly.
No, that's a what's the AMC? That was an AMC.
The Gremlin.
The Gremlin. It was a Gremlin. That was a Pinto. No, I got hugely ripped off. I went to a muffler place.
Oh,
have I told you the story before?
No, I don't think so. I think this is a new story for me. Let's do it.
So I'm in high school. I've got my first car, and it is just a complete junker. And I take it to this muffler shop. The guy starts putting the cheap muffler on it that I can afford. And then he comes out. He's like, hey, man, come back here. And he takes me back to this engine he's restoring. And it's just beautiful and it's detailed. And he's like, yeah, check this. And then he takes me out. And there's the body of the car. And he's redone the entire body. He's like, man, this Monte Carlo Landau that you're driving with a ceiling that no longer attaches to the roof.
Nice.
Like, that thing could look like this car. I'm like, really? That is fantastic. And he's like, yeah, here's what we'll do. We'll put sport shocks and struts on it instead of the cheap ones that you have now, because you got to replace those. We'll take the muffler and we'll do the like upgraded muffler package. He ends up selling me. I think my muffler was going to be like, I don't know, $85. And I walked out of there with $1,400 worth of work.
Wow.
Wow.
And I didn't get this. So I'm so young, though, I don't realize I'm getting ripped off. When I'm back in the lobby, you know, reading whatever the magazine is, and the woman, the receptionist, is going through newspapers, and she's finding coupons, and she's handing them to me. And she's like, here, this is for your... And she's basically telling me I'm getting ripped off.
Oh, my gosh.
Without telling me she's getting ripped off. She's like, oh, honey, I think you're going to need a coupon for some of this work that you're getting done. I'm like, oh, great, thanks. These people are really nice. He's going to fix up my car.
Yeah, so she was cutting out coupons for that auto shop for you to use.
For her own auto shop. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I still didn't get it. I took it home to my dad. I'm like, check this out, Dad. This car is going to be awesome. He's like, the ceiling doesn't stick to the damn roof. And you've got the sport package, shocks and struts. Yeah, this thing's great.
A life lesson for you.
It was. Yeah, I got ripped off bad. So don't do that. All right, I think that's going to do it. Is that going to do it?
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up.
So let's talk about what's going on where you guys live. Jim Wang, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Tell us what's going on at Wallet Hacks.
Oh, just writing about personal finance, trying to find strategies and tactics to get ahead and, you know, enjoy life.
WalletHacks.com.
That's right.
Awesome. Miranda, how about at adulting.tv?
At adulting.tv, we've got plenty of great resources for you to help you learn how to adult, including some stuff on Monday. Something we'll have coming out pretty soon that you can kind of look for is we've got a thing on how to invest, starting with $5. And we've also going to have a big thing on side hustles soon. So go ahead and check it out, adulting.tv.
And on Stacking Benjamins, we're getting ready for Black Friday. So that whole week, we talked to Brent Sheldon from Ebates on Monday. And then on Wednesday of Thanksgiving week, we talked to Bridget Carey from CNET about hot technology, like what the hot, cool stuff is.
Nice.
And on Friday, we nerd out with board games while everybody else is at the store. So we have a board game episode about board games about money and finance.
Oh, that's awesome.
Stacking Benjamins.
Sounds like a lot of fun. What's your favorite board game?
Viticulture, where you're making wine.
Ah.
You like viticulture?
I'll have to check it out.
Yes. No, it's fantastic. It's a great game.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Miranda, take it away.
That's right. So remember to check us out at MoneyTreePodcast.com. And don't forget that you can always send us your questions from the contact form over there at MoneyTreePodcast.com. Subscribe to us. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and any sort of podcast listening device you are interested in. And remember, no one will take care of your money as well as you do. So invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at MoneyTreePodcast.com for more free investing resources.